Good evening. Nowadays, it's universally accepted minhag to have a hand on Rosh Hashanah that we have 100 tekiyos. 100 tekiyos. I don't think it was always as accepted as that, but nowadays all the literature shuls and yonim and generally universally accepted. Nowadays, universally accepted minhag is to have 100 tekiyos on Rosh Hashanah. Halacha you don't need. We know that 10 or 30 midrabbanon. But the Shulchan Aruch brings down, and we should have. One should blow 100 tekiyos on Rosh Hashanah. And one does, that's generally what people do. Where did that come from, this 100 tekiyos on Rosh Hashanah? Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right, Sisso. Yeah. The mother of Sisso, that's right. So, it's a fascinating concept that we find that the Shulchan Aruch brings, it's brought down in the Achronim, that the meaning is to be 100 tekiyos. I think the Makor is the Shulchan himself. He says that 100 keys is because there was mother of Sisso. Sisso was an evil king, a bad person, a general. And he went to warfare, and as he was away, his mother, Aim Sisso, the mother of Sisso, was very concerned about his well-being. What's going to happen? He's out in the war, fighting. What's happening? Is he okay? Is he all right? Is he fine? And she was weeping. She was crying out. What's happening with my son? What's happening with my son? And she cried. And she cried 101 cries. She cried out. She cried. Oh, she cried. And because of she was weeping and crying. It's 100. They count 100 letters, whatever. And because of that, we blow 100 tekiyos. Blow 100 tekiyos. So, obviously, the connection needs to be understood. 100 cries from the mother of Sisso. 100 tekiyos that we blow. I mean, it's hard to find exactly the Chazal. It's brought down in the Achron. I couldn't identify exactly the Chazal where it comes from. It's brought down in Sefer Tudor. I couldn't find actually further back exactly the Makoyos. But it seems to require a bit of an understanding. What's the connection, mother of Sisso, 100 tekiyos? I don't know, it sounds like a bit bizarre. Sounds a bit bizarre, no? What do you think? It's a bit far from 100. Aim Sisso, 100 cries and... So I don't know what the Pasha Pshat is, but could be that's the following is the Pasha Pshat. Any suggestions, Abba said? I really don't know.
Well, he was a non-Jewish...
Indeed.
What time?
He was a general. The truth is, he was fighting Klal Yisrael. He was fighting the Yidden. And he did a lot of bad. He was about to... Whilst she was crying for the well-being of her son, he was actually doing nothing better than rubbing and destroying and killing... Eden. And that's when she was crying. She was crying out, where is he? How is he? Is he fine? And in the meantime, he wasn't doing no great deed. So it could be that's actually the very point. I wonder if that could be pshat. That her to have mercy is, we ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like she, on a rational basis, she was actually in the wrong. You don't have to have mercy on a person, a general who is killing, destroying, doing actions of destruction, no need to have mercy on him. Is he well? Is he fine? What do you mean? Let him not be fine. Let him not be well. But she had like a motherly mercy on her son. She was just like, oh, is he okay? Is he fine? When is he going to be back? And I want to look after him. A mother's love for her son, which is not necessarily rationally the correct emotion. Rationally speaking, let him not be well. He's doing no good. But we understand that she had that irrational or... unconditional. That's right, unconditional. That's the word. Unconditional love for her son. When we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we know very well that we may not be in the right. We may not deserve a Shana Tova Umesukah. We may not necessarily deserve all the brachas and the yeshuas and the chomas of the future. We may not deserve it, but we ask Kodesh Baruch Hu, very similar emotion that we are unconditional love. That's the words that you chose. The unconditional love that she had to her son, and she wanted to, you know, this general was the sister, wasn't doing any good. But she was having the unconditional love. 100 cries towards the son. We have asked also, out of the 100 tears of shofar represent that very emotion, that we want the Kodesh Baruch Hu also to have the unconditional love towards us, like a mother to a son. Like we may not be in the right. We may not be in the right. We may not be worthy and deserving a good gebenched yor. We may not deserve it, looking back at the year that we have behind us. And the crimes that you have committed may not be much better than what Sisso did. But we want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, You know, look at Aim Sisla, the 100 Tekiyas represent that. To have the unconditional love like a mother has to her son. We spoke about the Issa Shehiyah, and I would like today to continue that discussion and go into the Eterim. We spoke about the Heter of Chai yesterday. If somebody throws in a piece of meat which is raw, if somebody cooks a raw piece of meat, then it's got the Heter of Chai, of raw meat, and the halacha is that there is no Issa Shehiyah. The reason for that is, as the Shulchan Aruch explains, because they didn't observe Shema Echate, nobody's going to start stoking, he knows very well, he's not going to cook by the Friday night meal, he's not going to get ready until Shabbos day, and therefore, there is no observe Shema Echate, nobody's going to start stoking, because he knows very well he's not going to get ready anyway. So that's what we discussed, that the Heter of Chai is therefore anything that is raw meat, Zereshe doesn't apply, and it's permitted. Okay. Now, I would like to continue with the other two Eterim that are probably even more relevant than Chai. And that is as follows. We're going to start by the 1, 2, 3, 4 line down. And I'm going to start the following words. Okay, if you've got any dish, you're not allowed to keep it on the fire. Elim ken goraf. What is goraf exactly? What does it mean to be goyif? Finding out to it, you want to cook an uncooked dish on Friday night without Issa Shehiyah, what can you do? Here goyif. What does goyif mean? Tahainu, i.e., shehoitzu menu kol hagacholim. If you remove all the coals, that's right, removing of the coals, so shoveling it in a way that it's completely, you've removed them, they're out of sight, then that's fine. If the coals have been removed, not the coals, well, the gefes or the zesim or the etzim, if that's been removed, then there is no issa of issa shiyah. Oy kotam, what is kotam? Tenu shikise hagecholim, that you have covered up all the coals. Be'efa lemaat chumam. So the second letter is, you could cover up with ash or with potentially other things the coals, and by covering it up, there's also no Issa Shehiyah anymore. So these are the Heterim of Goraf veKotam. If you're Goref, you removed, or Kotam, you covered, Issa Shehiyah doesn't apply. Rabbi Yisrael, let's see the very important Mishnah Berurah over here. Mishnah Berurah of Kotam Yudalet says, Shekisa Gecholim, that's about... So you've safe cotton you'd gimel. Shehoitzi memenu. So that's what goraf means. Goraf means to obeyotzi mekol. Chutz lakira. You must be, goraf means that you actually removed it all the way out of the kira. So there is, a machloikis rishonim as to whether you need to remove them all the way. You need to remove them all together. Or is it sufficient to push them to the side of the kira? So again, if you've got the kira, this is the fireplace. The fire is over here. And that's where you put the pot. Now we are talking about, if you put over here on Erev Shabbos an uncooked dish, the Issa Shehiyah applies. We're talking about, when are you allowed to do it? So we said that if this is something raw, it's fine as well. We're talking about, one letter is, that if it's Gerev. Gerev means to remove the gecholim, if you remove them. So it means that all the coals which are here, all wood or the olive, whatever it is, the fuel which is here, if that is removed, that is also, the Issa Shehiyah doesn't apply. Why? Why does it not apply? Why does it not apply? Exactly, there's nothing to stoke. If all the coals have been removed, obviously there's no Issa Shehiyah, because why are you going to stoke? What about, if they've not been removed altogether, they've been pushed to the side. They've been pushed to the side of the kira. Is it muta or osu? Oh, very good. So this is actually a machlokes rishonim. Many rishonim hold, in line with the Rambam, that if they've been pushed to the side, the coals have been pushed to the side, that is also satisfactory, and that is also considered goref, removed. They're on the side, the coals are on the side, nobody's going to start stoking. If all the coals have been pushed to the side, nobody's going to start stoking it. You're only going to stoke it if there's like all the coals are there. But if it's been pushed to the side, you're not going to stoke. So it's a machlokes rishonim as to whether you need to positively remove all the coals, all the fuel, or also if you push them to the side, That's also considered good enough. So, what do you hold about the Loshon Shulchan Aruch? What would you say? What's Mashmay Loshon Shulchan Aruch? What does it sound like? Yeah. So Shulchan Aruch takes on that that you took them all out, you took all the coals out. And it wouldn't be good enough to push them to the side. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yud Gimel Shoyetz Min Chutz Lekira Arad Lekira Mutu Beze V'chem Bekotam Afilu Ak Nisbar Shel Kitzas. So the Mishnah Berurah takes this very clearly, like the opinion of the Rishonim that hold they need to be removed altogether. It's important to remember that there is many Rishonim who hold that they don't have to fully be removed. And if you push this out, that's good enough as well. It's going to be noga for later halachas, that the opinion of the Rambam. But as far as we are concerned over here, it seems to be that the Mishnah Berurah holds that Shulchan Aruch paskens that they're removed completely. The coals are removed completely. Okay, that's in terms of Gorav. The kira itself retains heat. The walls, the kira itself retains heat. It's probably not going to continue cooking, you're right. But it's a bit like when you keep the oven off, you keep the switch to the oven off.
So what's the equivalent of Gorav?
We'll get to that in a minute because we need to see Kotam as well. Let's just get to that. Sivkot Yudalet, Kisar Gecholim, covering the Gecholim. Hainu Kol HaGecholim, all the coals have been covered up. Rabbi said, all the coals have been covered up. Ve'en Tzorich Liktom Ad She'en Nikra Shama Eish. You don't need to cover it that much with ash, that you can't see the coals anymore. No, it doesn't need that much. You just cover it slightly, like a slight... pardon? Yeah, kind of. Spring, that's right. It's right, spring layer. It doesn't have to be a thick layer that you like pile off all the things. No, it's sufficient if it's a slight covering, but it needs to be called like a cholim, all the cholim. So it needs to be throughout all the coals, but it doesn't have to be a thick layer. So sprinkling a low, it doesn't have to be thick, but it needs to be right across. Again, for entzurich liktum ad she'enika shama eish klal, like bekisri eifa kol shum elamala opneim sagi, fa'afilu huvuro achekach. What happens, and that's really important now, that's the run. What happens if it's, you covered up, but it's going to be very negative for the blech shayla. What happens if you've got the coals, and you covered it a little bit with some ash? But you didn't cover like a whole layer, thick layer. A little bit. And you know what happened? Because the coals were quite strong, it did go down for a second. But after a minute, the coal restarted with the Goy Sechias. With the Goy Sechias, it started burning again. And now you don't know, isn't Issa Shia now or not? It's as if you didn't put it's as if you didn't do anything. It's back to square one. In fact, it couldn't even be stronger. Does Issa Shia apply, yes or no? You did do a Maisa Kedima, you did cover it, but it's overturned already, so it's not like anymore. It's been over burnt already from the coals again. Is Issa Shia, yes or no? What would you say?
Probably.
Probably yes. What do you Taina? Yes or no? Would it appear it should be also? The Mishnah Berurah brings over here, "Va'afilu hufuro achekach shori." There's a heter, an explicit heter, that if you have done the action, Rabbi said this is key for the blech and the hot clay shaila. This is mamash key. That if you did an action of covering up all the coals, and it started burning again with a fish kite, it started burning again. Hevaalochis kotam vehuvaro. If you covered it all up and it restarted, it rekindled again, there's a heter of Shia. This doesn't apply. And the Achronim explain, why is that so? Why is it? Why is it okay? It's burning! Why is it no Gzeir of Shema Echate? He's going to start stoking. Look at it. It's burning. He's going to start burning. Why? You can't see any more of any ash that you put. You can't see anything you put. You've covered it up, but it's all burnt already. It's like a strong fire. Why is it no Shema Echate? Why is it no Issa Shia? Achronim explain. Because the Issa Shia has been cancelled because you've done an action. You've done an action of Maisa Ketima. You've done the correct action. You've done a Ketima. You've done it's a tegilui das. You have shown yourself. You have shown that you're not going to stoke. You've covered them all up. You've shown to yourself, to the Rebbeinu Shlom, to the world, to Klal Yisrael, to anybody else. You have shown that you are not interested in stoking this. You've covered it up. Fire could be burning after it's strong like anything. It doesn't matter. You are not going to stoke it. You've done a gilui das. A gilui das, you've shown that you're not interested. And therefore, the Issa Shia doesn't apply. Make sense? Makes sense. Yeah.
Because otherwise you have to be matir the other type of garuk as well, when you move it to the side, because that's even stronger. Not only have you done a maaser, you've also got a heker. Here you only have the maaser.
Yeah, so that's very much in line with the Rambam taka. You're right. So the answer must be that if you push it to the side, that's not sufficient of a gilui das. You haven't really shown that you're not interested in the fire, in that fuel. You haven't really shown. All you did is you push it to the side. The Shulchan Aruch will answer. You push that, but if you cover them all up, right across, throughout the whole thing, you've covered it up, that shows that you really don't want the fire. But if you push it to the side, it's not substantial enough.
Exactly. If we're only caring about Maaser and not caring about Heker, then any taina that we worry about what other people think is cancelled already. Because
it's a very good question. How does that fit? Good. So this is a very key question. How does my gilui das work for somebody else? So in other words, that's a good question. But let's leave this out for me because that's a complex point. I want to leave this out for me. I want to get to the hot plate in a minute. Mishabu says I'm skipping a line. V'atam bekolze kiven the gilo daitoy deloy boy lekecholim. Since he has shown that he doesn't want those calls, sagi it's permitted. You have shown everybody you don't want those calls, therefore it's permitted. The bevada leosel achtuye. He's not going to start stoking those calls because he's not interested in it. Because he covered them up previously. He's not interested in them. Oyd isa the gecholim sha'amemu arik ktuma. Yeah. Okay. We'll stop here for a minute. Okay. Rabbi Yisai. Korach v'Kotam. So in the traditional sense, what it means. I want to be able to apply this to the hot plate in the blech. I want to apply it. So in the traditional sense, Korach means you have removed all the coals, and Kotam means that you have covered them all up. Okay, Rabbi, having seen this Mishneh Berurah, having understood the traditional Korach v'Kotam, I want to ask, what is your opinion about the blech? That's A. And B, what is your opinion about the hot plate? And it's a very... Let's start with the blech. Here's a blech. Permitted or not, we'll know it is. We know that we're allowed to do a shehiyah with a blech. That's what Klal Yisrael did for many years, if not for centuries. They had a metal... What metal? What type of metal is it? Is it iron? What is it? Copper. Which was just the right shape of the four gas stoves. And it went down a little bit, covering up the knobs. And that's what Klal Yisrael used for many years. The heat, one could even argue that the heat of that metal, what is it, copper, could even be hotter. I always wonder, I mean, you can kasher things with it, right? It's extremely, extremely hot. It's red hot. It's sometimes red hot. If you really turn it, put all four to the, how is it on a Pesach for... But you know, you put all hot. You know how hot it gets. It can get red hot at times if you put all four on. It's piping. You could cook on it. No problem. Have you ever tried a fried egg? Fry an egg on it. It would work. It would work like this. You've got a blech home, yeah, blech, right? So the shaila is, why is Issa Shia okay on this? Why? Within what category does that go? Oh, so you are saying it's because of the knobs. Yeah, so because of the knobs, so therefore keep going. Therefore, since
the only way you could parallel stoking would be changing the gas.
Changing the gas.
We discussed yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you can't change the gas, then there's no way of stoking it.
Right.
So it's not just a heker, you actually can't change the gas.
You can't change the gas, and therefore...
There's no way to be over.
No way to be over.
To covering the flame.
Right, so according to you, you don't have to cover the gas. You can just cover the knobs.
Yeah. I mean, that would be...
Pulling the knobs off, I want to speak to that when we get to next Eve. Yeah.
There might be other issues with not covering it, and I can't think of it at the moment, but I feel like there might be other issues
So I'll tell you what, the Achronim look at it differently. The Achronim look at it as this being a perfect Maisa Kotam, a Ketima. Achronim look at it, that if you've got a blech, you're covering up the fire. You're covering up the fire. Now we just learned that if you cover up the fire, even if afterwards it gets back to square one, it gets really, really hot again, you've got the flames there. Once you have done a Gilui Das, once you have done this action of covering up, then it's sufficient of to be Mati Issa Shehir. Once you have covered it up, that's called Maisa Ketima, which Gilui Das Be'al Masagi, and that's considered sufficient. So the Achronim hold, and that is Mamash accepted in every single posik, that a blech is considered a good Ketima. You're covering up the fires. It gets hot, let it get hot. Let it get hot. Gilui Das, it's a Maisa Ketima, and it's fine. One could strongly argue that in fact, what about the hobs? What about the knobs? Do you need to cover up according to this? One could argue that really make it, then you don't even have to cover the knobs. What do you think about that? You need to cover the knobs or not? One could argue that you don't need to cover the knobs.
There's different opinions on it.
Yes. But according to what I'm saying now, that one could argue that you don't need to cover the knobs. Because what you've done is, it's comparable to the Maisa Ketima on the fire. You've covered up the fire, and then it's the Maisa, one should definitely cover the knobs, but it is definitely, according to that, it's fine. Yeah.
Even if you're covering it, so that it should be stronger? Without the covering it, it should be stronger?
Yeah, well, at one point, it's for sure, the second you put it down, it's going to cool. So that itself is considered a Maisa Ketima. I hear what you're saying. I hear you're saying. But nevertheless, it's going to be fine because you've done a Maisa Ketima. You've covered them. You've covered them up, and it's going to be therefore fine. Yeah. Yeah. That we need to wait for the Ramah, and then afterwards the Bialoch on that. Yeah. It's Bialoch. Right. So that's that. Now, Rabbi Isai, I want to speak about. So that's the blech. And blech, therefore, every poisek. Okay, I know there's a chazanesh, but generally, the poiskim accept that it's considered a maisa ketima, and therefore it's going to be permitted. It's a shia on a blech. Right. Having said that, let us discuss the hot plate. You have got a dish which is not fully cooked on Erev Shabbos. And you want to get it a bit more, you want to cook it a little bit more. It's not fully cooked. And you want to put it on the hot plate on Erev Shabbos. It's not fully cooked. Are you allowed to put it on the hot plate? Yes or no? Why? You're right, but why? You're saying there's no fire. Put your finger there once, or rather don't, and tell me if there's fire or not. Oh, you're saying there's no shear. Why is there no shear? Why not? Oh, so according to you, what would be if there is three levels, strong, weak, and... Okay, so you're assuming that since there is no knob, therefore, it's a shear applies. Yeah, that's what it's considered. What is it, guf or ktuma? Neither, you're just saying that it's stamuta. Okay, yeah.
If you're looking for a gilui das, there is no gilui das greater than you stop using your regular heat source and you use something that you only ever use on Shabbos, which is a hot plate, because you use your gas on or your induction heater on during the week.
Yeah.
Only Shabbos and Yom Tov using a hot plate. Therefore, it's a bigger gilui das than just a blech.
Yeah. So in terms of why is it greater gilui das?
Because it's miyuchad for Shabbos.
Yeah.
It's a source of heat.
So what would you say with those hot plates that you could cook with? The strong ones, the hot ones, which do exist.
But you don't use them during the week.
Right. So since this is not a normal utensil that you normally use for cooking, therefore you've got gilui das there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So here again, the consensus of the poskim is that it's at the very least it's ketuma. Because the fire is covered, the fire is not, they also bring that the fact that there is no knob, and they also bring the fact that there is no, that it's not something that you normally, it's not something that it's impossible to stoke, and therefore it's also something which is considered gufa v'ktuma. The there is a bit of an argument against it, that you haven't done any action of ketima. You haven't actually done any action of the blech, in a way, is a more straightforward heter, because you've just put the blech there, and you've done a, here you haven't actually done an action, you haven't done a gilui das. One could argue, but then again, other poskim would argue that you've done very much a gilui das, because the actual fact that you've placed the food there, that itself is a gilui das, you're not interested in cooking and stoking. So, but that's therefore, the poskim agree that a hot plate is considered kufa v'ktuma, and it therefore, there's no issue here. Pardon? Ktuma. Why is it kufa? If there are knobs. If there are no knobs, yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah.
Which place
can I make on? To consider a group of Ktuma?
But who is unhappy with the
I know that Reb Shlomo Zalman was perfectly fine with it, and so was Reb Moshe. There's a Shmua in the name of Eliashiv, and there's other, I forgot now of him, but there's other also which are a little bit mistapic on it, but Reb Moshe and Reb Shlomo Zalman were fine with it. They had no issue with it. Okay, Rabbi, we covered tonight the concept of guf of a ketuma. We learned the fact that when it's guf of a ketuma, Issa Shia does not apply. Guf in the conventional sense means that you removed the gecholim. According to Shulchan Aruch, you've removed them all together. According to minority opinion, means you've pushed them to the side, that's sufficient. We've learned that ketuma means that you've actually covered up the gecholim. We learned that Mishneh Berurah says that if you've covered them up, and it relights itself, rekindles, and nevertheless it's considered a ketuma, and it's permitted for Shehiyah. The reason for that, Mishneh Berurah explains, is because you've done a nice gilui das, and therefore that you don't want to stoke, and therefore it's permitted, Issa Shehiyah doesn't apply. We have applied this to hot plates and to blechs, and we brought down that the poskim agree that Issa Shehiyah does not apply hot plate on blechs. Good evening, Rabbi Yosef.